Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go.
That's right. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I am your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy you all decided to join us. As I mentioned in episode 12, we are starting a series focusing in on the spiritual side of things. And this episode is the beginning of a three-part series entitled Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet. Episode 1 through 3 of the series will feature our special guest, who has a truly unique background. Irene Doresti is our guest, and Irene has a BA as well as a Bachelor's of Science, so a Bachelor's of Art and a Bachelor's in Science, and her Bachelor's of Art is in Psychology and Social Work. And her Bachelor's of Science is in nursing. She's a registered nurse as well. She worked at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in the neurology and orthopedics department. So she has that scientific side of things, the logical side of things. And she's really stepped into the holistic health piece or side of the fence, the other side of the fence, in recent years. I believe it's since 2016 she got into more of a holistic and spiritual approach or journey. And since then, she has gotten her Reiki Master Certification through Usui Reiki, Tibetan Reiki. She's also got Advanced Integrated Energy Practitioner. She's got a certification in that. And those two, are really the energy side of things. And we're going to go into that. So don't anybody get too worried about it. The other thing is she's certified in crystals and energetic usage. It's a divination tool. And she is a transformational life coach as well. I mean, what hasn't she done? She's a mindset trainer who works with adults, kids, and teens. She is also the founder and owner of a business called Soul Surgery Life Coaching. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming my friend, Irene Doresti. Welcome, Irene.
Hey, thank you for having me, Jim.
Well, very thanks for joining us
here today with you. Thank you for that introduction. That was wonderful.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I'm sure I left something out because, gosh, you've done so much. Yeah. I mean, seriously, you're so involved with so many different modalities as it relates to spirituality, holistic health and healing and those sort of things. And it's really neat. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons we're going to get into some of these things. In episode one specifically, we're going to talk really about intuition And we'll also, in some of the other episodes, we're going to talk about energy, but for sure, we're going to talk about intuition today in this episode, as well as energy. And I don't want to give too much away, so I'll stop. But before we get going, I want to talk about soul surgery and that holistic health area. Can you break that down for us so our listeners can get an understanding of what that's all about?
Yeah, sure. So basically, like you said in the introduction, I am a registered nurse. I have a degree in psych and social work. And I spent many years in that industry, in that arena. And, you know, it takes a toll coming in, you know, seeing patients that are sick and struggling and family members that are usually in their worst moments, you know, when they have a family member at the bedside that, you know, there's chemo involved, radiation, surgery. Right. There's so many decisions to make. And I did that for many years. And then I became a mom and a mother of four. They're all grown adults right now, which I love. And there was always that yearning to discover the power within, right? The body that we have and holistic wellness and health. And,
yeah,
you know, society, we prescribe meds, which work, you know, which have been a godsend for so many. But there's so much in spirituality that we discover that the power within us, and that with our nervous systems and our thought patterns, they cause dis-ease, right? Mm-hmm. So the way we think really is, you know, what we're putting out there into the world causes these diseases of anxiety, depression, you know, our internal pharmacies. We've had this conversation before, is we have our own internal pharmacy that constantly drips dopamine, serotonin, you know, cortisol. So when we learn that we can self-regulate our nervous systems, mm-hmm. and we can create a healthier living, you know, and we can create a healthier mindset, and as within, so without. So as I discovered these modalities of Reiki and integrated energy therapy, knowing that we have a mind, we have a body, but what we are, our souls living a human experience. That's how I kind of put soul surgery together, because I have that scientific medical base background.
Right.
I also now have the knowledge of the spiritual energetic work that our bodies, our physical bodies and our minds are constantly communicating with one another. And then when we put meds on top of it, it's masking symptoms that our body's trying to tell us. So we, in soul surgery, we learn to tap into our intuition, tap into our nervous system. And what is our body telling us?
And so, and I'm sorry to interrupt you on that, because I know you're definitely going in a direction, but I think it's really interesting. And I want to go back to the whole, you have this scientific approach, right? So you have this, you know, almost show me, prove it to me,
yeah,
type of background. And then you go into this whole, don't be offended, woo, woo, you know, all this, you know, where's the chicken? Kill the chicken, you know.
Don't get my husband started.
Oh, geez. No, we don't want to do that. But you know what I mean? So I guess I'm curious to know, and I'm sure others are also curious to know, okay, you've got this background in nursing. And by the way, if nobody knows, Memorial Sloan Kettering is between MD Anderson and Memorial Sloan Kettering. That's 1 and 2. And it's really 1A, 1B as it relates to cancer treatment in the world. They're the world leaders in that area. And so again, you're going from that to, you know, something, a world apart.
Color blind, 100%.
A complete, how the hell did you do that?
Yeah.
Or not how, why?
Well, you know, everything's a balance. You know, everything in life is to find some kind of balance in life, and that, you know, we're taught as a society that if something's broken, we go get it fixed. You know, you go to your car's broken, you go to the, you know, mechanic to get it fixed. You rotate your tires. And the same thing with, you know, our healthcare system. We go to, you know, stay healthy. And then we go when things are broken and things need to be fixed. And thank God for these modalities and these gifted surgeons and, you know, and medical professionals. But then what can we do on our own? You know, what can, you know, we take responsibility for and ownership and how we're, what we're putting into our bodies and start treating your body as a temple. You know, as far, you know, I'm a burger and fries girl. So, I, you know, but when we start noticing what, you know, what we're doing to ourselves and how we're breaking our own system down through stress, anxiety, diet, you know, and lifestyle, holistic health. And then the medical fields, we're finding that balance and then taking ownership for how we show up in the world.
So that division is, or that gap seems to be maybe narrowing a little bit in today's world or culture, is what you're saying with
is plant medicine symbiotic? Plant medicine is you know, such a big topic right now, and realizing the, you know, the benefits that it could give to us just on a maintenance level. And I think basically, losing my train of thought there because we were talking about something and I'm shifting over to something else, is really just getting back to the woo-woo of holistic health or the woo-woo of intuition and in listening to our body. So, you know, coming out of that spiritual closet, right, and merging from the medical world or the person, the identity that I was as a mother of four running around schools and, you know, being a part of their day-to-day, you know, doing sports activities and living my life. And then, you know, following into this, my family was like, what's going on with you? Like, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, right? But really, you just having to find your happy medium and find the balance. So I think—
Okay, so were they worried about you when that happened? Did you get an
intervention? Yeah, my mom was like, she's like, you're reminding me a lot of your grandmother, you know? So she's like, you know, things are starting to, you know, remind her of, you know,
my— We are Greek, right? Isn't there a lot of gypsies in—
Yes. Well, my grandmother used to read— one of my grandmothers used to read the Turkish coffee. So you drink the Turkish coffee, and we'd be at a, like a cafe or whatever, we'd take her for lunch, and she would read people, strangers, she would read their teacups. And so she taught me how to do that. And that was when I was young. She was pretty accurate.
Holy
so it was
cow. Interesting.
So I think I'm kind of, you know, maybe it's a generational pattern that we are.
It sounds like it's in your DNA for sure.
We are definitely open to the universe and
that's
how it
speaks
to us. Yeah.
So we were talking earlier when we decided that you were going to be a guest on the show. And we were breaking down the three different mini series or episodes within the Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet series. And we were talking about intuition and what a huge part of everyone's life is, you know, intuition, being able to use it and trusting your intuition. So intuition, what is it? What does it show up like? Does it feel, you know, can you maybe explain that a little bit?
Of course. So it's okay. So I'm going to start with we're humans living a, you know, we're souls living a human experience. And basically we live in a 3D world, right? We're living our lives. We're on automatic. We're, you know, getting up, doing the same routine, getting up, brushing our teeth, going to work. We don't pay attention to our bodies, right? We're on automatic.
Autopilot, right? Yeah.
Right. So that's just how we live as human beings. And we don't pay any attention. We listen to our logical mind, what it tells us to do, you know, turn left, get it, you're hungry, get something to eat. We're in that mode. When you tap into your intuition, it's actually listening to what your body is telling you. So our mind and our body speak to us all the time. We know when we have tension and we're angry, right?
Yeah, you can feel it, right?
We know when our stomach hurts and we're like, oh God, you know, something's off, but we don't listen to our intuition. And our intuition is that gut feeling, the knowing. I just know this. I know this is good for me. I know this is the job that I want. I know this is the vacation that I want to take. You just know because you're listening to your intuition and it comes in your own thoughts. So we don't, so intuition is the definition of it is a gut feeling, right? It, okay. That inner knowing. But when we're so busy being human, which is what we're here to
all the time,
be, right? We just ignore it and we don't trust it. So in you know, part of the kids group we talk about is yak, you always know. And we do this fun test about a coin toss of, you know, would you want this or this? They pick a, you know, a choice. And then if they want two out of three, they're like, oh, do it again. Because they're already, mind, their intuition knows what it wants, but they need their logical mind to say, give them the green light, right? So there's a window of intuition that you know that you know. And then there's about 3 to 5 seconds where the neurons fire in your brain and say, that's not safe. Don't trust it. It's so, you know.
But why is that? I mean, why don't you trust it if, okay, so I'll use
the way we're wired.
You always know, but if you always know, why do you go, I'm hearing this, I'm feeling this, but no. I'm going to go that way. Mm-hmm. you go into the pit of crocodiles versus, I know this is the way I'm feeling. This is the way I should go. But no.
Yeah.
Logic says go that way.
So basically because we're left-sided brain dominant. So we are constantly living in our ego and our ego is there to keep us safe. So, and when I speak about ego, I don't speak about, you know, the self-confident, you know, he's so
hot.
Yeah.
You guys didn't hear it before the show. Yes. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Jim's oh my God. Right.
He looks so amazing, hot. Right?
You're hot. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it is kind of warm in here, but it's.
And it was me. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's the sun, it's you.
Your logical brain will always give you evidence from the past that is going to say that it's not safe. Right. So, it's almost like the angel and the devil on your shoulder. You know, your angel's like, you got this. This is amazing. You could totally do it. But 2 seconds later, your ego is going to say, no, slow up.
Let's talk about that. You said your logical brain, I think you're talking about your pattern. But since you have such an amazing background and since you were in the neurology department, I've got to think, well, I know that you know quite a bit about that, which is also one of the reasons that you have such curiosity in this area. But let's talk about the brain and that patterning. What happens to your brain once you have that or the familiarity?
Sure. So basically we have about 65 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And 65% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. So when you start to have the awareness of your repetitive thoughts, the thing that your mind tells you over and over and over again on a daily basis, that's a telltale sign of where your imprints are. So when a neuron fires and you have a thought, and if it was under a microscope, it would be like two blasts, and then you would see these little ribbons connecting each other, right? Little neurons, you know, connecting. And those are thoughts. And the 65% of those repetitive thoughts, if you could just imagine, I wish I had a slide for you to show you because it's really mind-blowing. Those interconnectedness now spiral down your nervous system. Like roots, right? So a synapse happens, you have a thought, right? And then, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't take this job. And it connects. And then it wires down your nervous system. And the more repetitive those thoughts are, the thicker the roots. So you can have a million thoughts and you don't give it any thought, right? You're like, oh, I want a vanilla ice cream, and you have it, right? And it's done and you get it, and there's no attachment to it. But we want to pay attention to the repetitive thoughts that you had, that I'm not worthy. I don't feel, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't, you know, what gives me the right to think that I, you know, can do these
deserve, these
low level emotions, right? But they wind up, you know, connecting roots down our nervous system, which lands into our chakra centers, which we can get into a little later. And it's the energy points. So what happens is when you have these repetitive thoughts, your brain, you'll have a feeling and your brain will automatically say, let me pull up the thought that shows evidence why I'm right, why I'm keeping myself safe. Because our ego's responsibility is to keep us safe. Human existence is we live in survival. Right. So our left sided brain has to be logical and it has to keep us alive. So it will do anything in its power to convince us to stay safe. So that's why it's so believable. Then you want to get into the cortisol drip, which is a negative, which is just as addicting as nicotine. Right. So we have an automatic cortisol drip that drips slowly into our brains. But sometimes when we get in these negative thought loops, it's like turning that faucet on. So for example, if I'm losing you here, it's
I love this.
So negative people love negative people. So you have, everybody has a girlfriend or a friend or a mother-in-law or whatever that loves negative. You know, this one did this and this one did that. And could you believe this one? So we're addicted. The cortisol is like, it's a drip. And then we get addicted to those negative patterns. Why? Because our brain is like, yeah, this is amazing. I feel safe. I feel safe. We're keeping ourselves small.
Because it's familiar.
It's familiar.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Just hit the nail on the head. It's familiar to us. So we want to, our brains like to keep us familiar. They like to keep us safe and they like to, you know, just give us any past memory that can come up that can validate why you shouldn't be doing the things you're doing.
And there's, you know, obviously it serves a purpose too, from a survival perspective. It's the fight or flight mechanism is associated with that. Yeah.
Yes. So there's the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic. Parasympathetic nervous system. So that is fight or flight.
Say that five times fast.
Yes. So most humans, we are constantly living in the state of survival, in the state of fight or flight. But our brains,
sympathetic.
Sympathetic. Okay. So our brains cannot distinguish between if something dangerous is happening, your house is on fire, or you're having a negative thought. It can't distinguish any external circumstances. It fires, the neurons fire the exact same way. So we are constantly that adrenaline driven, like, I can't breathe. And you know what I mean? Like we're in danger.
That's crazy though, that the brain, you know, that the brain can't tell the difference. I mean, that makes like zero sense, because you could look at one thing and go, okay, my house is on fire. I get that. I get out and you get nervous or angst ridden about something that has no life or death implications, but you still react the same, you're saying.
Yeah. So your nervous system will respond the same to any thought, whether it's your house being on fire or, you know.
How fucked up are we?
Yeah. Well, this is the school of Earth, right? This is what we come here, you know, on this, you know, to this planet is to learn. And I always love the just saying that if you think about it, no matter what race, religion, God that you practice outside of yourself, we always believe that there's something outside ourselves, something bigger, right? Mm-hmm. God has a bigger plan for us. When you come to spirituality is learning the power within, learning that we are the creators of our reality. We are in control of this beautiful pharmacy that's inside us. And then when we have the awareness of how it functions and why it functions and know it's just trying to keep us safe, we don't have to believe that anxiety and that fear and the depression and all those, you know, obstacles that we put in front of our mind likes to put in front of us.
Wow.
You know, we see through the lens of our own personal perspective. So events can happen and events could be neutral, but I'm only looking at it as the lens of my experience. Wow. We can look at the same exact thing and see something completely different.
From the human mind, my perspective is going to be different than yours, or my lens will be different than yours.
Your lens will be different. So the human mind is such a powerful tool, but we also have to know that we can control the mind to think better thoughts and to give our nervous systems love to loosen those cords that we've since childhood have embedded in our beliefs.
So how do you do that? I mean, it sounds easy. Just think different. That sounds, there's a phrase that I use. The solution is simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
Right. Because that sounds simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just think differently. It's a lie. Think something different.
Yeah.
But how do you do it?
So in my personal experience, it takes commitment, consistency, and repetition, right? You have to retrain your brain and give it nervous system love, right? So transformation can only happen at the speed of safety. So if your nervous system is like, whoa, hold on, something's wrong here, and your ego is going to kick back and say, oh, this isn't safe. Why are you trying Reiki? Why are you trying energy work? That's woo-woo. That's your nerve, this is what's happening in your body. So you need to know that I have, to take it slow, to have compassion, to be open, to experience new awareness. And then you give your nervous system that love, which is called, we call it mm-hmm. nervous system love, but because transformation will only happen at the speed of your nervous system's safety. So we do energy work. That's where the chakra systems come in. That's where integrated energy comes. So we pull out those stuck. So when we go into chakras, it's like a fluid that, it's like a imaginary fluid that just keeps circulating in our bodies. It's like the our insides, like our heart, our lungs, our, digestive systems working. Mm-hmm. We don't even know it. But outside our body in the energy channels is the same way. It's fluid. So they spin like circles and they just clogged artery. It just gets slower and slower and slower. And then sometimes it spins too fast. So with Reiki and integrated energy therapy, we're balancing those chakras and we're pulling out that debris that no longer needs to be there energetically so that you can be in alignment.
So I know this is going to sound like a simple question, but when you're saying your chakra, the wheel is spinning too fast, does that mean that it's overactive?
Yeah, it's like a hypothyroid and a hyperthyroid, you have it's the same thing. Most of the time they're sluggish. Most of the time it's just imagine a dusty debris over them. So they're not free flowing. And usually, depending on what chakras are blocked, is you can be having physical symptoms with mm-hmm. digestion or anger and, anxiety, or you can have emotional responses. Well, that's what I, with the anger, you can cause physical disease, or it also can cause emotional unrest.
No, that's interesting. Oh, and by the way, do you need a water break? Do you need to get something to drink? Okay.
Unless you do.
No. I'm cool. I just, you're coughing. I thought you might have.
Oh, okay.
Might be because you're dry or something, but. And I won't edit this out, by the way. I just
I have a coffee. I can start drinking.
Yeah, but you do what you do. You whatever you're comfortable doing, because I drink whatever's available to me within arm's reach.
Yeah, same. And sometimes I'll take my coffee, and I'm like, that was from yesterday.
And if you're really looking for something to drink out of, for those of you that are in our viewing audience,
I want this is a that
very cool bottle that you can have, a reusable water bottle, or if you're somebody likes to hide that you're a drinker. You can put whatever you want in there too.
You should have seen as the wine at the baseball fields growing up, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Sitting in the sidelines.
The Red Solo Cup crew. I have to police that stuff. So I'm.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm Debbie Downer.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's really interesting, talking about the energy flows and the chakras, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. But again, I'm going to go back to your medical background, your scientific background. We talk about energy and we talk about frequencies and the nervous system, as well as our heart, is largely electrical, right?
Yeah.
So the EKG and EEG, electrocardiogram, electroencephalogram or encephalogram or something like that.
It's measuring the electrical conduction of the heart and the brain. Those are tools that they're guidelines in the medical industry of to see that people's baselines, and everything is energy.
So and I'm going to ask this question again. You know, everybody always says there's no dumb questions unless I'm asking them. But I'm going to ask this. So is that energy then that we're talking about? It could be, you know, heart or brain or what have you. Is that someone's aura then too? Or is an aura completely different than that?
Yeah. So that I would say, not completely an expert in this, but from my belief and from my understanding is that we are all energetic beings, and actually everything holds some sort of energy, right? Even these crystals are energetic, you know, have energy.
And the frequencies and everything like that. Yeah.
So we're all born with a signature frequency, and that pretty much stays with us our whole life, but you can fluctuate up and down. What the aura is, so the human body is a physical mass, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's in Hinduism, it started that we have two parallel dimensions, that we have our physical body and then we have our auric field, right? So it's energy, subtle energy channels that are around us. So okay. Your aura, it can extend 6 feet up, you know, out of your body, up and around. So at all times you have, like, imagine this big imaginary bubble. So you have your human body, then you have your mental body, which is a couple inches above your head. Then you have your emotional body, which is a couple feet higher, and then your spiritual body. So just to explain that a little bit, and then it connects to your meridian points into your, in your body and your chakra systems that lay. Some people say they lay outside the body. They're very close to you, but some say they're, you know, more inside where the locations are. But basically they're all interconnected, and those energies are speaking to you before your body even realizes it. So for example, have you ever gone into a room, an office, you know, an office meeting or, you know, your kid's school, and just know off the bat, I don't like this guy. He's giving me a weird vibe.
Yeah, I think the first time I met you, I felt.
No. She's crazy, right?
Woman is nuts. Yeah, right? No.
But have you ever?
Seriously, yes. It's like you get some bad vibe, or it's always what I call it. Like the energy in the room is, it could be low. It could be, you know, are just dark
or the opposite.
Sluggish.
You can walk and be like, this, me and Jim are going to be best friends. I could just see it. You just see it on camera. You know, this guy, I could totally tell that we're, you know, compatible, right? You just have that inner knowing.
Cause we do karate in the garage.
Yeah.
Right. Are we best friends? Yep.
100%.
Our favorite movie.
Yes.
Step Brothers. Sorry.
Well, my brother would love that I was talking about that movie. He let my son watch it when he was young, and I walked in. I'm like, "Are you really letting him?"
I did that too when my oldest boy was sick. He was homesick, and my wife came home to check on him, and that was when Brennan was had his testicles rubbing him across the drum. Oh, meet Moby Dick. Yeah. And my wife came in and she's like, I can't believe you're letting him watch that. And I was just like,
My brother was dying laughing. He was cracking up on the couch and my son was like, I guess this is funny. But, you know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. It was
derail us on that. But
what I've been dealing with for a long time. So, anyway. No. What were we talking about?
I know.
So when you just know.
The feeling, that energy.
House hunting, right? And you go into a house and you just say, oh my God, this has the most loving energy. It feels safe. Or it could be like creepy and dark and you're like, something, you know.
Something bad happened here. I don't like this.
Here, right? Yeah. It's like, it gives you that eerie feeling. That's your aura already signaling to your body. If we're all energetic, right? We're all energetic beings. It's picking up on your emotional bodies, your mental bodies, right? Your spiritual bodies before you even get into the room. So when you're in a concert or you're sitting at a table with people, our auras are interchanging. So if they're not flowing together, there's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the beauty of doing this energetic work is to be able to almost like, we always call it like a spiritual shower. So you just imagine like the dust coming off these layers of you. Right. So when you're feeling heavy and you're feeling like down, like, I don't want to go to the gym and I don't want to, you know, do my office work today. And I don't, you know, and that there you're getting in that funk. You just can do that, just wiping away that debris. And then it frees you up, you know, because you're cleaning that first, that energetic space. And then your mental mind is like, oh, okay, we're cool. And then keep going. So your body will feel that. And like I said, your body and your mind are constantly speaking to one another. But
so is your body like an antenna then?
It's like a human antenna. But it's just, it's internal, right? It's that yak you always know. It goes back to that. Let's start as humans. listening to what our body's saying. Am I tense, right? Is my palm sweaty? You know, like, what is it trying to tell me? What is my nervous system trying to tell me? Because as soon as those nervous system starts feeling those feelings, our mind just starts, you know, firing off any kind of evidence that it can come up with to say, let's, you know,
we're good or we're not.
Let's keep ourselves safe.
You know, I started to think after I was, you know, did we just become best friends? After that, I was, I was thinking about different times where I've been in meetings where I was giving some sort of presentation or something like that about the services. And you're right, when all of a sudden, it's like you get a little boost of energy because you're on a similar wavelength or, you know, and it's feeding off of one another and it's positive. But then the same thing or the opposite, not the same thing, but the opposite occurs sometimes when you go, yeah, this just isn't a good fit. And you get this almost like a fatigue for me personally. I'm like, how long have I been here? And I've been there for 5 minutes. It feels like an hour. And it's like, well, you know what? I'm thinking that this probably isn't a good thing for either one of us. So wish you all the best. And if I, you know, let me know type of deal. So you're right. But so energy and intuition are almost intertwined then. Yeah. Is what you're saying.
100%. So, so really your subconscious mind, you're in that room and your nervous system is feeling it out. And before your even logical mind can kick in, and your subconscious mind is feeling their body language. It's noticing their energy. It's, you can almost tell like, oh, this guy, he's not going for it. Or this guy is open and ready to receive. Right. And you could just feel their energy. Then you look at their, their body language and what their bodies are telling him, and you can read the room. And that's your intuition. It's in your subconscious. Your thoughts aren't saying anything to you. You're just feeling it. And that's your intuition. That's your gut. So there's a lot of different, senses. You know, we use mm-hmm. our five senses as humans, right? We have seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. But that's the same thing with intuition. You have clairvoyance and clairsentience and clairaudience, right? And mm-hmm. those are things that we don't tend to trust and use. Right, so it's like a muscle, you know.
But why? Again, why? Is it just because it's unfamiliar? Because yeah. you haven't developed that?
Or it's the human talking condition. Where have okay. you ever been taught to trust your gut? You know, we're always raising our hands for permission to do things, right? In yeah. school, we're taught to raise our hand for permission to, you know, speak or go to the bathroom or do whatever. We're always looking for permission.
Our mom got in a lot of trouble, by the way. I don't know if you were that kid. Spontaneous, mm-hmm. never stop talking, class clown.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time out in the hallway.
Yeah, so did my
sure.
So did I. My sons used to pop in, wave to their friends. I'm like, going. But
Yeah, definitely. So with, again, this is going to sound funny or a stupid question. I know we talk about the gut, trust your gut. Mm-hmm. And I do know that there are more neurons or receptors in the gut than there is in the heart. Or even the brain, I think, too, like three times as much. But I guess where my question was before I sidetracked myself yeah. was, do people, we're talking about intuition. Mm-hmm. Will you get that feeling in different parts of your body, or is it generally in the same? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Like somebody said, oh, I don't feel it. I feel it in my fingertips, or my fingertips tingle, or my, you know, the back of my, oh yeah. So like when somebody gets that the back of their neck, like the hair on their neck or the goosebumps
chills,
or something.
Right. Yeah. Chills is always related to spirit. Like it's like a download. You're getting some sort of information.
Are you giving away one of the next episodes with that? Shh. No. Stop. Yes.
But what you're saying is when you get that gut feeling, that's your sacral, not is it say solar plexus?
Solar plexus.
Chakra, right? So each chakra is has that different emotion attached to it, or a body part or sensation. So when you're getting that gut feeling, you know, are you using one of your clairvoyance? You know, are you just feeling clairsentience? You're feeling something in your gut. And so that's your intellect and your personal power and your individual will. So a lot of times the gut is the first place where we get it, right? We get yeah. that gut feeling. And that's where they, you know, you trust the intuition. Then your third eye, which is your pineal gland. And that's one that's needs to be kind of going to the mind gym to kind of get off those calcifications. Because if you look under, you know, an autopsy of a...
Does everybody have a pineal gland, or is it just men?
Everybody has one. But if they've done autopsies on people that are psychic mediums or, you know, intuitives and things, it's like crystal clear. And
oh, really?
Then if you look at a, you know, a general person that has never really based anything, their life, anything in any of the clair senses or in any intuition work, it's like a calcified nut. It's like a little, you know, it's a little like the size of a pea, and it sits right here, and it's your third eye, and that's the center of connecting.
Yeah, pineal envy.
Yeah. I don't.
No, and you missed my joke. What I said. Does everyone have a pineal gland, or is it just men?
Oh, is that what you said? Oh, I thought you said, is it just me? Okay, gotcha.
Sorry. No.
Didn't know it was this kind of podcast.
Well, you know, I don't know. Gosh. I can tell I had about 3 hours of sleep. But in all seriousness, I told you before, and I apologize for the audience, but I do love to laugh. God, and I, some days I just think I'm the funniest guy in the room, and clearly I'm not. But so in a serious question, with that whole feeling, picking up in the pineal gland in the chakras and everything. So we have the root chakra, we have the sacral chakra. Solar plexus is obviously where you kind of know what's then.
It's right above your navel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then.
So root is really your basic needs, your survival. That sits at the base of your spine. It's usually the color red, right? So it will, it's like your tribe, your family, where you're from, where your roots are, right? That's why they call it the root chakra.
Okay.
So if you kind of, you know, easy to remember, and that's the color red. And then you have the sacral chakra, which is above your pelvis, right? So mm-hmm. it would be like creativity and sexuality, right? Okay. So it's both, you know, women, their sacral chakra, they give birth, right? That is the birth.
Yeah.
So that's why it's there, but it's also about creativity and relationships. So that's where that comes in. Then you have your solar plexus, which is yellow. It's right above your navel, and that's self-esteem, self-control, like your personal will, your personal power. And when that's not working, you can see that you're down on yourself, or you don't have enough confidence, or I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough. That's when that's kind of out of alignment. Then you have your heart chakra, which is the mm-hmm. heart, the love center, but it's also about giving and receiving love. You know, those people pleasing, people that are always I don't want to do this, but I'm going to go right anyway because I'm people pleasing, right? That's the mm-hmm. heart chakra. So a lot of times people say, oh, the heart chakra, I got to work on that. But there's really a lot that goes on with the heart chakra because it is the center chakra, but it's about giving and receiving. Most of the time it's blocked because it's easy to give love. Mm-hmm. Some people have a major block. Some people have trust issues and are going to put those walls up. And that's when we work on the heart chakra. And that's green, obviously.
Okay.
Green. Some people say it represents green or pink, but it's usually a green color.
Oh yeah. Not to get too far ahead, but mm-hmm. with your crystal, is that the rose quartz that's associated with that at times?
Yeah. Okay. You can have green tourmalines, that you can have jades, all sorts of any kind of green stones.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about chakras is there's a whole studies on foods that you eat. So when you know that a chakra say you want to work on your solar plexus, and you should start eating yellow colored foods, bananas, lemons,
really? Like
things that are to work on that. It's your body's craving. There's whole studies on color and chakras.
I was just going to ask you if it was a craving or you eat it to improve it.
That you should start implementing more. So even when you're working on your heart chakra, if you have a breakup or a divorce or something and your heart's broken, you want to eat a lot of greens. Yeah, a lot of broccoli. You can have a lot of gas, but
that's right.
But you should start.
Ciferous.
You should start foods, increasing those colored foods depending on what. And then I have some beautiful sessions on working with crystals and energy work. And we work on each chakra at a time. And then we find the ones that we really need to work on. And usually it's the lower chakras that we hold a lot of imprints on, that are really, because that's our root, our sense of belonging, survival, and our self-esteem. And then the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra are, once these are working, these you can start
to flow.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I don't know, and I'm hoping everybody else is enjoying this too, but I absolutely love talking about this. I have a curiosity and a natural curiosity of that, because I don't think there are many people that grow up in an environment where this is practiced from birth or talked about, really, even especially I think in Western culture. It's probably not as accepted as maybe in Eastern cultures with, different herbal medicines and things of that nature. And obviously we talk about meditation, that's something that has been for eons has been going on. That's not anything new, where some people say, oh, that's that new crap. It's not new. It's been thousands and thousands of years. And I think that some people can also make a correlation between prayer and meditation, right? Is there that thing going on too? And I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over. All of a sudden, I just started thinking about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, definitely in certain cultures, it's one and the same, you know, in Hinduism and Buddhism and all that, you know, and these Greeks, you know, the cultures that prayer is definitely the connection to source, right? Or God or something that, you know, a higher power. And really when it comes to meditation, like in our world now, right, in 2024, people feel the woo-woo of it, that you have to sit on a mat, or you have to sit on a cushion with incense and, you know, and do the whole sacred space and do it all together and do that for hours. But that's great for the people that, you know, enjoy that and that want to, you know, practice and do guided meditation.
The pageantry of all of that stuff.
But there's, you know, there's beautiful guided meditations that will take you to places that you're like, wow, this was beautiful, right? And we were talking about ayahuasca and all the different plant medicine.
I'm a big fan of guided. No, I was going to, not ayahuasca, but a big fan of guided meditation.
There's so many, and hypnosis and all these beautiful things. But if you really, if anyone out there listening is like, oh, this is crazy, this is a crazy topic. Meditation is just coming back to the present moment, coming back to the breath. And that's all meditation is just having the awareness to be where your feet are and just breathe. And just breathe in through your nose, hold it for a second, blow out your mouth a couple of times, in and out, just getting into that flow, because peace is your natural state of being. So when I go back to telling you that human beings, we live in fight and flight, right? Our sympathetic nervous system is on the go 24/7. When we come back to the breath, that turns on the parasympathetic nervous system. That's rest and reset. Calms down your brain, calms down your nervous system. So all you have to do is breathe and just mindfully do it. And that's meditation. That's true meditation. If you just need a minute, your head is reeling, you have the awareness, these crazy thoughts. I can't deal with this right now. Come back to the present moment. Say, be where your feet are. Take a few deep breaths in through your nose. Hold it for a second or two. Blow it out through your mouth. Pay attention to your breathing, the feeling of your breath coming in and out of your body, and just drop into peace. It only takes 3 to 5 times and you will be dropped into your core feeling of peace. Your parasympathetic nervous system will be turned on, and that's rest and reset. Those thoughts will subside. Your heart rate will, you know, slow down, and you will be at rest. And really, that's the, you know, the easiest. No one knows you're doing it, and you're just breathing. Because, you know, we're breathing automatically all day long, every day. And if you just need a minute, like, I don't have time to meditate. People say all the time, I don't have time to meditate. Right. I make it a daily routine. I get up in the morning. I go outside. I do my morning meditation. And I, you know, I just start my day.
That's my favorite place to meditate.
Even if it's cold or rainy or whatever, I always just, you know, and it's interesting that I used to just, like, oh shit, the weather's bad, I can't go outside and sit on my stoop. And now, like, it's raining and I put my hoodie on and I feel the raindrops on my skin, or I feel the snowflakes coming down, or I feel the sun. And I kind of look forward to all the, you know, the different kinds of, I'm not out there for an hour. I'm out there for 10, 15 minutes, just starting my day centered, grounded, and ready to go.
Can I tell you something? When you were talking about that, I was following what you were saying and I was listening, and it was calming just to listen to you discuss that. And I'm not being funny. There's no punchline to this. I'm being totally serious. I was just like, oh, that was the first time I felt relaxed since this morning when I was outside. Because it's as soon as I come inside, and that that brings me to something else, but let me finish my thought first, if that's even possible, is just by listening to you go through that, it was a very calming, very relaxing. And as you were talking about, in through your nose, hold it for a few seconds and exhale, I was going through that and was like, oh, yeah, okay. And I was kind of settling back in instead of having my mind racing. And that was very cool. And I forgot what I was going to say before, but one of the other things I wanted to ask is if it's possible that maybe even on the next episode, because as I said before, Irene's going to be our guest for 3 episodes. And maybe on the next episode, we start out with a meditation. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, of course.
I think that'd be so cool. Well, and that's something that somebody could experience. And then I think it's a live example, or, you know, pseudo live example of, it doesn't take an hour of, you know, Tibetan bowls, singing bowls going off or anything
beautiful.
Like that.
Yeah, they're beautiful, but you just tap into the 5 senses and check right into the present moment, and your parasympathetic nervous system is turned on. That's rest and reset. You come back to center and you're done. You know, don't have to, people say, oh, I got to, it's just another thing on my to-do list. You know, it's not, it's just, if, like I said, if the listeners out there just be where,
well, if it's a chore, don't do it. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you view it as as an obligation, I think it's defeating the purpose of it, at least in my opinion.
100%. And if you turn on your 5 senses, your brain, you can't have any thoughts. When your senses are tuned, turned on, your thoughts are turned off. So it's just coming back to that present moment and just being in the moment.
So much. So helpful. I mean, it is so, so helpful. Before we get into the musical questions, there's 2 things that I wanted to talk about. Or one, I wanted to ask you again. So we're talking about all of these, intuitions and gut instincts and all of these things that are so, so positive. How do you go about refining or sharpening these things and begin to trust them more? Is it just through repetition? Is that how it's done?
Yeah. So when you first start trying to cultivate, your intuition and starting to lean in and trust it, your nervous system is going to kick back. It's going to say, this is a waste of time. Why are you doing that? You're just to tell you right off the bat, that is going to be a normal response. When I first started doing this work, I was looking in the black hole. I'm like, I don't see anything. This is nuts, right?
Yikes.
This is
crazy. Yeah.
And then that is just, the first line of defense that your ego is just saying, what are you doing? This isn't safe. This isn't, so anyway, to backtrack, to answer your question, you have to cultivate your intuition like it's a muscle. You have to take it to the brain gym. So as far as the meditation practice, bam, just be where your feet are, pay attention to your breath, go on your daily. But if you are interested in increasing your intuition and your senses, right, your clairsenses, your knowing, hearing, your seeing, your sensing, and you're really interested in it, you do have to start a practice, right?
It's
coming back to the breath, cultivating that intuition, doing some meditations, and really just working it like a muscle, right? Making sure, and first of all, but most people, their upper chakras are pretty free flowing, but they, if the 3 lower ones are still stuck and we're still in survival and root chakra and our power center and our sexuality creativity centers are stuck. That's where most of them are. You need to do some work on those first and then allow it. When I first started and I went to the Long Island Healing Arts Center by me in New York, wonderful places where I learned to study Reiki and integrated.
I guess I should have said that to everybody. You're coming from us from
I'm in New York. I'm in Long Island, New York. So when I first came and my instructors, did a Reiki session on me, my solar plexus had a heartbeat. It was palpitating. I couldn't even believe. I was like, what in the world? Like, it was so stuck, right? And that was my personal power and my intellect and my, you know, and it was always that, like, you know, fighting against trusting my gut, right? Not my, I wasn't allowed to, you know, you're scientific, you know, like you can't believe
prove it. Prove it.
And then finally with work on those lower chakras, I did, you know, then the ability of my throat chakra to be self-expressed, right? Coming out of the closet. How am I going to come out of the spiritual closet to my friends and family and be like, what is going on? She's drinking the Kool-Aid. Now I can talk about it freely and open and have the education and the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to share it with people that are just new to this whole world.
That's cool.
You know, and that there's such beauty to it on that side. Then my intuition opens, and then my crown is my ability to speak to the
because you are the queen. The crown.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about was just kind of a teaser, because we talk about signs, you know, God send me a sign or whomever. So that's going to be part of episode 2 when we're going to talk about signs and what are signs and that sort of thing and how do you pick them up. And I guess it's going to be, it's probably going to be very similar to everything else that we're discussing right now, that it almost has to become part of our normal routine, in that you have to be receptive to those things and just be open to them. My guess is, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, if you're looking for something so intently, everything else just goes right on by you, that you're missing some things. But I won't get too far into that, because I don't want to give it away.
I would say for the listeners, is really, get curious if you're curious, you know, about it, and not so, you know, finding answers or prove to me that this is real, or, you know, go into that analytical, critical, like, you know, mind, is just get curious to see. And I would love, you know, what we can, our next episode, we can do some meditations, and then I have some fun, really cool things about your guardian angels and your angels.
Love that.
Connect with them.
And that's going to be cool.
There are signs all over, all the time. They're trying to get our attention, and we just have to ask. We have to ask for, you know,
love that.
Permission. And once you start getting into synchronicities and living in that, you'll be mind blown. It's crazy how synchronicities are all over, and we just miss them. We just drive right past them, and we don't even know. We don't notice that our angels are constantly trying to get us
to wake up, pay attention.
Our attention, and it usually takes something really messed up for us to finally stop and listen. You know, and they got to hit us over the back of the head with a 2x4 in order to say, "Wake up." You know, and then it's fun. You know?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Me neither.
So, okay. So as anyone can tell you that's actually listened to the podcast before, this is the section when I ask the guests some musical questions. And this is pillar 4 of our show. And as I mention regularly, music is the tie that binds. And I believe that everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life if they just take a moment to think about it. So, are you ready for the musical questions?
I am.
Okay, cool. And just so everyone knows, we're not going to go through all of them today. We're probably going to get through 3, maybe 4, because we have the 3 episodes. We want to continue to build off of those, okay? And as we go along, some of those things may change too. As we go along, something may come up that you go, oh gosh, yeah, that's right, there's something different. So anyway, so here's the question. Question number 1, what was the first song that you fell in love with from the radio?
The first or my favorite?
Well, let's go with the first, because it's going to bring you back to maybe childhood. Or you know what, it doesn't even have to be from the radio. It may be something that you go, oh yeah, this was great. And I remember this as a kid.
You're going to laugh. So my, I don't know if it was my very first, but Garth Brooks. I have friends in low places.
Okay, so I know that wasn't your first. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because that was in the late 80s when that came out. All right, so we have to
go back a little further. Okay. My first... So I think you know this story. So my first music exposure would be to, from my mom, right? My mom, I told Jim this story before that she used to dance around the kitchen and make dinner. And she used to blast Cher, ABBA, country music, right? She would always be blasting, you know, one of her favorite songs. So my sister and I used to dance around the kitchen to my mom's favorite songs. And one of them was Black Magic and Gypsies.
Tramps and Thieves. Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves.
we used to die laughing and we would dance around the kitchen. It was really a good memory for those. So she was my introduction to music and she listened to everything. You know, she would listen to all sorts of different types of music. So that's why my genre of music is really everything except for maybe like super heavy metal.
Mine's very eclectic too. And it sounds like our moms are very similar. I remember that as well. Although my mom did not like country music, my dad did. My mom would, I don't want to hear about somebody's horse dying or something like that.
Well, country's that, you know, if you want to get a little sad and you know feel
you can wallow a tear in your beard.
For sure.
So question number two, and I do know the answer to this from the standpoint that it's not necessarily the road trip song, but did your family ever have a song that everyone would belt out on a road trip? And it wasn't a road trip, but it was in your living room.
Well, the road trip song was Bye Bye American Pie.
Oh yeah.
So we
Don McLean.
All like, you know, my brother, my sister and I would be driving to Virginia or driving with my parents and that song, they would put that song on and we would all sing the entire lyrics to that song. We all memorized it. We knew it like crazy and we would sing it at the top of our lungs.
That's an amazing song. And I think it's one of the, there's not so many DJs these days, I guess. But back in the day when there was DJs, that was a I have to go to the bathroom song.
Yeah.
Because it was such a long song.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
they would put that song on and they'd go use the restroom. Or it was almost, yeah, if they were smoking or something, they'd go have a smoke break and come back to it.
And you can still come back and catch the end, the fun part of it, right.
Bye, Miss American Pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good one. Yeah. As we're growing up and we're in high school, I would like to know maybe what your high school anthem was. And it's not your high school fight song, but it's the one where your friends are like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
High school anthem.
I won't say what year you graduated, even though you told me.
I know. You know, trying to think.
Your true colors.
Yeah. You know, in high school, if I was thinking about this with the girls, when you were with your girlfriends, it was Madonna, Michael Jackson, Richie, right? Elton John, Whitney Houston, like all those like sing out loud songs, like those would be like your girl, you know, your girl.
Bravo, Fiesta Forever. That was Dancing on the Ceiling days, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That was, you know, great. And then if you wanted to get sentimental, it would be Whitney Houston. That's What Friends Are For, right? You know, a good time. And all the girls, we used to all just kind of like.
Keep smiling.
Right, when you wanted to get mushy. But when we were hanging out with like the groups of friends, in high school was more like Rush or The Who or, you know, AC/DC or The Doors, right? Like if we were hanging out like together in like having bonfires down in the park. That was like the music that we would listen to. But then we would be with your girlfriends and we would be in each other's rooms, doing whatever. And it was
smoking
more,
probably in the closet or something, blowing it into
out the window,
toilet paper roll with fabric softener in it. Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
I can see you've done that many times. Right, yeah. Right. And then me personally, I would love to drive to Fleetwood Mac. Like if I was alone in the car and I was driving or whatever, that was my like go-to music. I would love to just listen to the whole album.
So I'm gonna hit the rewind button for a second in that you'd mentioned Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really know Rush songs?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Rush was really my favorite. Was one of my favorite.
So that wouldn't have been Permanent Waves. That would have probably been Moving Pictures or or Subdivisions.
Subdivisions,
at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. New World Man.
If I could, I have the worst singing voice, but if I would, I would sing you a million of their songs, but I can't because I can't.
Really? I want to hear one. Just give us a little bit.
No way. I'm a terrible singer. I cannot do it. I sing in the shower in the car by myself. And then I'm amazing. But when I'm
begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion and obtrusive. Come on. I just gave it to you.
I can't. I know. And then the tune is in my mind now and I'm like, "Oh, just play it and I'll sing it along with
you." I wish I could because I can't because of copyright laws. But
gotcha.
But I'm wondering if I sang some stuff, if I could get away with that, because I was thinking about that the other day. That's funny.
Gosh. Yeah. I loved all that. And back in the day, we had our boom box and then we had to play create our own mixtapes, right? We used to listen to the radio. Yeah. And my sister and I would lay on the floor, listen to the radio and be like, "Oh, it's on." And then press record. And then we would have our own mixtape.
You can't talk when you're recording that. You didn't want to have anybody else talking. You would go, when you have your mixtape, you're making it on the radio.
Yeah. I'm recording.
Mom!
Exactly. And then you have to wait for the song to replay,
later. 3 hours later.
Right.
You're spinning the dial.
All different mixtapes. So I do like everything. I really had an exposure to a lot of different friend groups and a lot of different, music that we would listen to when we were doing certain things.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this, I think. And in episode 3, I'm thinking I'm going to see if I can get some karaoke to play through this.
Yeah.
How freaking cool would that be? Yeah. And then you're going to have to get that microphone all cranked up. So we're going to stop the musical questions here. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode. But don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today. And I sure hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. I had a ton of fun today. And I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Miss Irene Doresti, all the way from Long Island, New York, for being on our show today. You can get in touch with Irene through her website, which is www.soulsurgerylifecoaching.com. That's www.soulsurgerylifecoaching.com. Now, Irene's programs are offered as individual or one-on-one sessions, as well as group settings, workshops, and speaking events. And I also would like to invite you to head on over to our show notes where there's a link to the playlist from today's episode. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.